This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? United Healthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
As Obi-Wan Kenobi once said, hello there, and welcome to Force Center Presents Databank Dive. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok. This is a show where we go into the databanks at StarWars.com, find something or someone or a ship or a planet, anything in there, and we discuss it. We have fun, and hopefully you enjoy the journey as well. We did a season of this over on The Companion, and you can check that out if you want to head over to The Companion sci-fi app and enjoy 10 episodes of Databank Dive that we did about last year at this time. We had so much fun. We took the show to the public-facing storefront of the Force Center shop. And here we are for a fun show. Joseph, you have picked a very wonderful topic today.
I think it's wonderful. We'll see what you think. We'll see what other people think. I think you really celebrated this topic already by using the phrase public facing. We are talking about a character today that is mostly face, Ben Quadraneros. Are you excited for the Big Ben?
I'm excited for the Big Ben. We decided long ago it's probably not best to surprise each other with this, as we got to get some technical stuff, done.
Yeah.
And I saw this and I was like, we already did Ben. I just think talk about Ben so much. It just feels like that.
Yeah, no, I think he feels shockingly overlooked. And we've now done around 40 episodes of Databank Dive total, and it took us 40 to get to Ben. I apologize to Ben. So I got to address something right away, Ken.
Yeah.
Consistently, wherever the name of this pod racer is written down, it is Quadaneros, Quadaneros. I just rewatched this section in Phantom Menace. The character's name is said three times by the wonderful voice actor, performer, Greg Proops. And there's an extra R to my ear every time he says the character's name. It's Ben Quadraneros to be heard. And it is Ben Quadraneros to be read. How do you feel about this great controversy?
Another Star Wars name controversy indeed. How do you say it? I go with the Proops style. I think that's, Quadraneros. Like it flows better than Quadraneros for me. But then I love adding extra beats into words and syllables and stuff that don't belong there. It's a thing I've done my whole life. I really learned it when I got to an audio booth and had to record stuff. And the guy was like, "What are you adding to these words?" I'm like, "I just always do this." So I'm with Proops on this one there. It just sounds like a race name to me.
Okay, there we go then. That's the decision, I think. This has always bothered me because I would see it spelled and then I would hear it and be like, have I lost track of something? But for me, as you said, I like it Proops style. I'm going to walk into restaurants and say, make mine Proops style, and be sure to make sure I include the R in that one. Quadraneros just has a great ring to it. Quadraneros also, hey, I don't want to insult anybody if there's any humans listening whose last name is Quadraneros, but Quadraneros is the big winner for me. And I like the idea that there's a lot of headcanon to be had here. Is it just, hey, in the Tung species, there's a silent R in your last name, or rather an R that's not pronounced. Is there an R that is said that is not in your name? Is that it? Or is his name actually Quadraneros? Fodes and Beads say it wrong, and the poor guy doesn't get a chance to correct
him. He does good. I love that you've got this an invisible letter thing in a name. That's confusing if we run it out in the real world. Love that.
Yep. This letter is not in the name, but you also must know to say it. Language is weird and complicated. I'm sure it happens. All right. That's it. We're going to call him Quadraneros. That's our episode. Goodbye, everybody. No, we're going to get into the actual title of this show. We're going to dive into the databank. Here's what the StarWars.com databank has to say about Ben Quadraneros. The pudgy, comic-faced Ben Quadraneros was a rookie pod racer who claimed he came from the mysterious Tund system. He competed in the Boonta Eve pod race that saw the liberation of Anakin Skywalker from slavery. Ben was largely inexperienced and was quite terrified of the Boonta race. At the start of the race, his engines wouldn't even ignite. It was not until most of his competitors were already heading towards their second lap that his four engines did light, just as his power couplings shorted, sending the rockets flying about the arena. There's a lot of judgment in this databank entry. How do you feel about it, Ken?
That actually might be the best databank entry we've stumbled onto yet. I had not read that yet. I kind of pulled back from that prior to this recording. I'm exaggerating slightly, but it's like StarWars.com, Darth Vader, Sith Lord. That's his entry.
Yep.
You're like, there, pudgy, claimed he's from this system.
Claimed. Yeah. What is that shade about? I mean, it's not like most Star Wars characters introduce themselves and then we get to see their chain code and it's verified that Bosk claims to be a Trandoshan.
Yeah. Claims to be that. A terrified of the race, which, tracks with what we see, which makes me wonder about how he even got there. Wow, man, this is a lot.
Yeah, I mean, comic-faced, fair enough. That's really interesting, right? Because, yes, we'll talk about this aplenty, but from the perspective of our universe, his face is comic. Is this databank entry implying that from the perspective of the people in the Star Wars galaxy, that's a comedy face.
Yeah. I think it's almost like an indictment on the people of the galaxy. Like, you are the ones who are judging him.
Strap in for some more of that. We're going to have to discuss his face because that's what most of him is. This is great. I love that they emphasized that he was there at a very crucial race and then just spend a lot of time on how poorly he did. At the start of the race, his engines wouldn't even ignite. Will you look at this loser? So much judgment. Let's see if Wikipedia is any kinder to Ben Quadraneros. Wikipedia says, despite his embarrassing loss. Nope, not kinder. Despite his embarrassing loss, Quadraneros persisted in pod racing and was billed as the racer Sebulba's arch nemesis on the poster, the sport's greatest rivalry during the Clone Wars. In 19 BBY, Skywalker, by then a Jedi Knight, had a copy of the sport's greatest rivalry hung on the wall of his personal quarters in the Jedi Temple on the planet Coruscant. Later in the Clone Wars, an altered version of the poster that only showed Quadraneros in his vehicle hung in Galactic Republic Clone Trooper Barracks in Fort Anaxis on the world of Anaxis. In 2 BBY, Jedi Padawan Ezra Bridger also had the altered version of the poster on the wall of his cabin on the VCX-100 light freighter Ghost. Shortly after the Hosnian Cataclysm, in 34 ABY, Janor published A History of Persuasive Art in the Galaxy, a book that included mention of Quadraneros in relation to the sport's greatest rivalry. In addition, Quadraneros was mentioned in an artist journal which was restored, expanded, and displayed at the Graf Archive at some point no earlier than 34 ABY. Quadraneros meets a rather different fate in the comic adaptation of the film, where his pod racer starts without any trouble but explodes after being rammed by Sebulba's craft, presumably killing him. That's just a fun footnote that he dies in the comic, murdered by Sebulba. But let's get back to the poster. Now, he's got some, you know, legend story, but in canon, there is more about a poster of Ben Quadraneros than Ben himself. How do you feel about that?
That's a slight, I think, but it's also fascinating stuff. First of all, how does he go from this terrified of the Boonta Eve race to Sebulba's rival? That's a sports doc I want to see. We got a lot behind that story. I love this art stuff. I love that by appearing in Clone Wars in that poster, it just set off a chain of art events in Star Wars based around him.
Yeah, no, and it feels a little like one of the missions that sometimes happens, certainly with podcasters, and I think sometimes with creators, of kind of a hashtag justice for fill in the blank. Mm-hmm. And I think that great scene, that pivotal scene in the Clone Wars where, you know, Obi-Wan is trying to finally kind of have a sit down conversation about the obvious, you know, romantic entanglement between Anakin and Padme. And it's a pivotal, important scene. And mm-hmm. It's also like we get to see inside Anakin's personal room and we see that he has more things on the wall. Hey, attachment. Mm-hmm. And then on top of all that interesting stuff, it's a pod racing poster, which is cool. And they could have just left it at that, right? It could have been, Sebulba and Gascano or whatever, you know, or Sebulba and Mahonik. But then it's Ben. Do you feel like that's a justice for of like, hey, we know this is really cool.
Yeah.
And we are going to, you know, prop up the pod racer y'all laughed at.
Yep. I would love to know some stories on that. I'd love someone to come forward with their love from Ben Quadraneros in the behind the scenes of Clone Wars. Yes, because it has a little bit of that protective energy of, you know, Sebulba, I thought, and by the way, I always say start to say Sepulveda because it's a street that runs through all of Los Angeles. Sebulba, I think he's always, to me, always was kind of cool. I don't know. There was something about it. Even during some of my darker days around Phantom Menace, you know, a poo-doo was fun to say. I thought he was a good character. But Ben, as we'll discuss, maybe wasn't. And I think that happens. I think you and I have characters like that, Star Wars fans out there. I think Dexter's one that's always been that for you and I, and just Force Center in general. Our friend Brian Ward has made defending Dexter's entire identity, and I stand by that. I absolutely support it. So there's a lot of that that goes on. And to have it inside the house, so to speak, with someone going, no, we're not crapping on Ben today. We're putting him on the poster. We're elevating him. I love that.
He is one half of sport's greatest rivalry now. we've been touching around the edges of our Ben Quadraneros feelings, but let's dive in. We should frame this from the perspective of our generation. We grew up with the original trilogy. I think it's fair to say that a lot of us we're sort of set in our ways of what looked like Star Wars and what didn't. And Ben was one of the lightning rods of that doesn't look like Star Wars for people of our generation. Not everyone, but I think you and I both experienced that and certainly talked to other people who did. So from that perspective, how did you feel about Ben Quadrenhouse when you first saw The Phantom Menace? Was he high on your list of aesthetic grievances back in our crankier days of 1999?
Hated him. Hated him with all of my fiber, of my being, of my soul. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, and then that was the thing too, right? It was the, and then they put like that, like on top of everything they did this. And look, I think you and I could laugh about it. And I think you and I, we're very open about sharing our journey. Mm-hmm. And hopefully there's some value in that for those out there and for those that love this movie from the beginning, no matter what age you were. Gosh, we absolutely just are here for that. But this was hard. And I think it becomes, I think eventually I consider myself now defensive of Ben. Defensive because I was on the other side. Mm-hmm. And it was just inappropriate rage, I guess, at it. It really was, because I was really upset. I was really, and then that guy.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No, I was with you. I think we would have both been on our second drinks when we got to Ben Quadrenhouse, right? But all of it was, is for me, was sort of a piece of not understanding that Lucas wanted to expand the palette of what Star Wars could be, that characters and creatures like this were always in his mind and he didn't have a way to realize them. Right. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, I was in my dark brooding early 20s and everything was cooler if it had an edge. Sebulba was cool because he had a deep gravelly voice and spoke in an alien language. And he looked like he would bleep you up at a bar. And that meant two thumbs up from me.
Yes,
and so the sillier didn't make sense to me in Star Wars, and silly has always been a part of Star Wars. I want it to be a part of Star Wars, even sometimes when the actual manifestation of the silliness is maybe not for me every time. I don't want to reject its presence in Star Wars. The Yopi farting, I'd still be like, hey, you know, if George wanted to do a special edition and that got removed, I would shed no tears. I don't, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to sit here and be mad that it's there or say it doesn't belong in Star Wars. In the same goes for Ben Quadrenhouse's face as it does for that EOP's fart.
Oh, you have my vote in the next election. I love this. And look, I have both. Actually, I don't have shame for being part of that Star Wars generation that tried to destroy it for those. That's where a lot of us were. And it's important to grow from that, important to realize that. And Ben represents a big part of that for me. Yeah, there's some things I'm with you too. Some things that could go here or there, things I don't need to engage with as much. Totally, totally. But what I also love about something like Ben is this is designed. First of all, go back to the Cantina New Hope and stop and look around. You got like a cricket. Dr. Mandible, who shows up, you know, in Mando. But you got like a cricket. You got in Jabba's palace. There's a frog. You can call it a wart all you want. It's a toad. It's a bullfrog out front of the... There's weird things in Star Wars and always has been. We know this. So to sit there at a theater in 99 and be like, no on this one, I vote no on Quadrenhouse. It's a bridge too far for me these days. I just love it. Love him.
Salacious B. Crumb is the kind of dark brooding edge I'm looking for. Right. So I'm not down with Ben Quadrenhouse. Yeah.
Tim Rose hand puppet. And I'm over here offended by Quadrenhouse.
Yeah, absolute background character in the Muppets that would, you know, be doing a bit with Vincent Price in 1978. That's cool, but not this. Anyway, I think I turned around on Ben Quadrenhouse a little faster because he was one of the lightning rods that you kind of laugh at, right? So I remember having conversations where people kind of attached, even people who didn't like him and criticized Phantom Menace for being too silly or childish, kind of came around on him because he was fun to joke about and everybody knew who you were talking about. You're like, oh yeah, the face guy? Yeah. So there's always that path for me where sort of ironic dislike then becomes familiarity, then becomes genuine enjoyment. And that's the journey I went on with Ben pretty quickly.
I'd love, maybe you could do this. I'd love someone to write a book on that as it relates to pop culture, right?
Yeah.
Like you hate it till you love it. And then you learn from it. I always mention the Spice Girls. I love the Spice Girls. I used to make my radio show's identity in the 90s, destroying them. And that was just horrendous. Not fair. It's not fair to the fans. Not fair to the generation. Not fair to the people that connect with them. If someone in 99 connected with Ben Quadrenhouse, and then you have an a-hole like me stomping on that joy.
Yep, knocking the Ben Quadraneros lollipops out of kid's hand. That's just cruel. All right.
Are there lollipops?
No, there just should be, right? I mean, it's great merch for Ben. Oh, lick my face. I don't know if that's how he talks. Anyway.
It does now.
How would you physically describe Ben Quadraneros?
Well, you can start with a cookie, but I was going to do this. A frying pan with eyes and with two legs, two long legs.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I think that's great. The frying pan. Yep. He definitely could sizzle up some ham and eggs.
Yeah.
Just on the space between his nose and his mouth.
Yeah.
Lord. Yeah. I think the reason there were a lot of differently shaped aliens in Phantom Menace, and that was, you know, hard for me back in 1999. But I think the reason that Ben was a lightning rod is because he looked like something out of like the Wacky Races animated series that was around when we were kids. But trying to take a step back, I think the main thing I think of when I see Ben is, what if one of those kind of odd sentient M&Ms could mate with an actual human?
Oh, wow. Yes.
Because he's got that kind of, it's a little bit longer. He's kind of got that M&M shape. And an M&M who's been through a lot, who's seen some things, because, you know, I don't know if it's just what all Toons look like, but he really does got some age, right? He's got that kind of a little bit of a double chin. Got, you know, long line between nose and mouth. So, yeah. Yeah, a sentient M&M mated with a human who's been through a lot.
but not the abomination to creation that you'd think. It's a joy.
He looks a little startled too. Like he's just always been given some new and shocking information.
Yes, he's got resting startled face indeed.
Yeah, yeah. All right. What for you is the overall magic of Ben Quadraneros? What does he add to the fabric of Star Wars?
You and I believe strongly, along with Jen here at Force Center, everyone matters in Star Wars, meaning that you must find the value in those around you and their part in the story. And because of that, Star Wars is teaching me to appreciate characters like Ben Quadraneros, who I don't fully embrace right away. And they force me to pull myself in closer to the themes of Star Wars and learn more about these characters that I would toss aside so easily. And on top of that, he has got, there's just something so entertaining about him now. And I think when you release a lot of this stuff, and by the way, I'm speaking to someone who, you know, we just shared our journey again. I'm sure someone's out there going, I love them from Go. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to offend you, but you know what I mean? Like you look at him, there's just, it's just entertaining, man. And it's fun. And Star Wars has so much of that. And it needs that constantly. Doesn't mean we can't get serious. Doesn't mean we can't get dark. Doesn't mean we can't have moody Andor shows and episodes of The Bad Batch that go into the dark shadows of the story. But we need Ben Quadraneros. He's part of the magic.
Absolutely. I think that's a big thing for me. I've been just thinking about a lot about the roots of fantasy and adventure and space fantasy and that desire that the first film, you know, really tapped into back in the day to be like, what if I could escape the real world and go to fantastic and bizarre places, you know, that just that need and sense for adventure. And I think that, you know, what the power of that is that seeing things that don't truly exist and yet somehow are totally relatable. Right. So I think the power to him is that you enter a wide galaxy like Star Wars and you want to see things that are alien and fantastic. And that can mean everything from badass Mandalorians in head to toe armor to, you know, a stressed out, stretched out face like Ben Quadraneros. You're not physically going to see Ben Quadraneros, but that nervous look he gives over his shoulder, I'll say generously to his anatomy, when his pod is failing, that's one of the most relatable things I've ever seen in Star Wars.
There's something about everything he's experiencing. It's me trying to do a new version of like OBS on my computer.
And on those beautiful sounds that truly capture the magic of Ben Quadraneros, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to dive into some of the details of this amazing pod racer. Back in a moment.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
All right, we are back to continue enjoying Ben Quadraneros. Ken, do you think Ben Quadraneros legitimately went on to become a great pod racer, or is it all propaganda? We're digging into the history of that poster, the sport's greatest rivalry. What do you think is the truth behind it? Why does Anakin have it on his wall? Is it true?
Cueing my bad ESPN VO. What if I told you both stories could be true? Here's what I think. I have two. I don't know where I land on this quite yet. Maybe we can work through it here together. I think one, yes, he does. And what a Star Wars, not just redemption story, but growth story, belief, whatever you want to, it's such a nice story. From that moment, right? We've all hit the first day on the job, or you're good at something, but you're not quite good in the moment, but you're going to get better. I mean, I burned tapes of my first stand-up shows for reasons. From that to going to the top of the game, that's something we can all look up to. And I imagine there's something about Ben and his pride, but the desire to know I'm going to get better and this is where I'm going to go. Idler's that version of it, right? Then there's this version I have in my head of what have I told you? Sebulba's team handpicked Cuadrineros to be promoted and turned into a rival because they knew they could always beat him. And it was a work. They paid him off. We'll get you in the race. We'll keep you going. And then at the end, something will always happen. And Sebulba's going to get the win. And then there's two different ways to look at it. Light side, dark side for me.
Yeah. You know what? This is weird. I hadn't thought of the work. You know, your experience in wrestling makes a ton of sense. I've set him up to be the guy who can almost succeed but will fail against Sebulba. Love that. But I also thought light side, dark side. There's something about Ben that is just damn sincere. And I feel like he's pushing through the terror. He's excited to be there. He's jumping up and down. Those three antennae thing on his head.
Yeah. Yes.
Are jostling like mad when we first meet him. I think he worked really hard and became a much, much better pod racer. I think he shocked everyone at how much better he became, right? And everybody loves that kind of story in sports, right? So, well, man, it burned things up. At the same time, I have this sense that the organized crime interests of the galaxy, for some reason, somebody fingered him is the one who's going to be in their back pocket.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody else was taken as pod racers. I wonder if this was like an early move by Dryden Voss. Who's like, I'm going to invest in you. I'm gonna imagine like a really scary meeting between Dryden and Ben Cuadrineros.
Colo Clawfish, Ben.
Colo Clawfish. No, I'm good. Yeah, this is an odd reference. The David Lynch film, Mulholland Drive, which I love. One of the kind of dreamlike nightmare aspects of it. Is there's these organized crime sort of figures that just tell a director that girl is the one. That's the one. And you don't know why, but it just has to be, or nightmarish things are going to happen. And I just get that vibe. Like it's in a David Lynch movie, like some scary monster is pointing at Ben Cuadrineros and going, he's the one, period.
See, here's what I want you to do. I want you to track down David Lynch while he's giving his weather reports. And pitch this story to him. And this would be what gets him into Star Wars.
I think I'd get the same response that he gave to George. Why don't you do that? It seems like you're passionate about that. Why don't you do that? You like your Wookiees. We've got that settled. We both think there's the power of the dark, the power of the light. No matter what is going on behind the scenes to prop him up as Sebulba's greatest rival, we both think that Ben Cuadrineros sincerely rose to the challenge in his skill level.
Yeah. Yes, I like it.
So then let's talk about how. We get the information in The Phantom Menace that humans can't usually pod race. So I've always kind of taken it as different species have sort of a physiological advantage. What about Ben Cuadrineros's physiology being mostly face makes him so good at pod racing?
I think I'm looking at, and for those listening at home, bring up Ben on Wikipedia, or if you're in a car, pull over, look on your phone. I'm staring at his face while I'm saying these words. I think those cheeks, the way they're just kind of stuffed into that outfit, I think they're naturally aerodynamic. So he's maybe got some instincts. He's got some flexibility. He's got those long limbs. He's probably got some reactions that are fast. You know, he's got that stuff going there. I think he's got that. But, you know, those eyes, it's not like he's got 12 eyes you can see. Maybe those antennae to help him tune into something. I don't know. But those cheeks, man, it's like an extra 5 miles per hour on that ride. Just the wind goes over those cheeks. They're just stuffed into that outfit, and they just push the wind up and over and out.
Yeah. Okay. I like that he's got some sort of like exhaust filter in the back of his head.
Yeah.
In through the cheeks and out through my blowholes in the back. Yep. Okay. Okay. I like this a lot. I wanted to imagine that having a wider face would maybe make it so that he actually has his eyes are farther apart and he has better like peripheral vision. But then looking at him, I can't honestly say that. And he does need to really do like full Michael Keaton Batman turn to look behind him on that one shot where he looks at his engine. So you went with cheeks. I'm going with antennae. I think those antennae somehow are like incredibly sensitive to changes in wind and velocity, and he senses it through his his head dangles.
Goes straight down into his brain.
right into his brain. Yeah. You know, and that's the other thing. You know, I think it's possible that he has just a massive brain that can compute information he's getting through his eyes much faster. Like you could look at him and you know, be not generous and say the brain is kind of like only nose and above, right?
Yeah.
But what if the brain is the long way and it goes all the way down to his chin?
Oh, I agree with that. Oh, speaking of Dryden Voss's ship, it's like it's built like Voss's ship there. I like that. I like it goes all the way down. It's behind those cheek pouches. It's yep. It's that nose to the top of the lip where you could grow just a wonderful mustache. Yeah, it's all there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Look at the big brain on Ben. How do you think Ben Quadraneros would feel if he found out Darth Vader used to have a poster of him in his bedroom?
Well, okay. So Darth Vader, or does he know? Does he just know the Sith guy or the little kid?
I think he knows that. Okay, so somebody finds out. Who knows? Maybe he meets Reva in a bar and tells him, hey, you know, Lord Vader, Dark Lord of the Sith, you know, enforcer of the Emperor. He used to be a Jedi. I'm not going to tell you which one. And he used to have a poster of you on his wall. How do you think Ben would react to this information?
I would think he might go, Darth Vader is Anakin? Like, I think he would get it right away. No, I think just it being Vader, in a weird way, dark side energy aside, I think Ben Quadraneros would feel, I think he would feel justified. Justified for the struggle, justified for the time, the practice he put in to become better. I think he would be like, yes, one of the more, yes, evil, but more powerful beings in this galaxy, up there in the upper crust. He appreciates me, and I think that would be some validation.
Yeah, no, I like this a lot. I had been thinking that maybe, you know, Ben is twisted with guilt, that he's all caught up in crime. He can't be a pod racer without being in the pocket of organized space crime. So maybe this would only make him feel like, this is what pod racing has brought me to.
Yeah.
And, you know, have terrified, endless nightmares of Vader coming for him. But I think you've actually changed my mind. You know, I think it's public information by the Clone Wars. Anakin Skywalker is a hero of the Clone Wars. There's news reports about him, right? And I think one day Ben Quadraneros is like, Anakin Skywalker, the kid who kicked everyone's ass at the Bounty of Padres. I think Ben Quadraneros sent Anakin that poster. I think he sent it to the Jedi Temple.
Yes. Yes, he did. Oh, this is beautiful. I don't like to generally get into these Star Wars questions that sometimes I think are used as bad criticism, but like, well, but if this, how come this, right? I don't like that kind of stuff too much. Mm-hmm. It's fun, but sometimes it's used too seriously. Anakin Skywalker winning the Bounty Eve Classic has to be on some bill of record somewhere.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So you start syncing it up. And the Jedi, again, I don't think the Jedi are trying to hide his origin from him, but I just love that's a big connection. I haven't thought about that. No one has put that all together, or it's not more known or accepted that, you know, the pod racing company didn't release like a special commemorative Anakin collector set of cards, you know, when little Annie won. Fascinating. This is why I want a pod racing show and a pod racing video game, to get into the weeds on this stuff.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I wonder if he's just sort of like despised in pod racing circles because he ruined people did not make good money. Nobody but Qui-Gon won that day, right? Because nobody was betting on him.
Yeah.
So that's maybe true. He's despised. Oh, yeah, we're going to have to do a deep dive on that. Yeah. Getting back to old Ben Quadraneros himself, we do have to address, of course, the great history of the name Ben in Star Wars. And I want to do it by asking this question. How do you think Ben Solo felt about sharing a name with this guy?
Oh, I think that during different phases of his life, I think it was maybe used against him in the elementary school years, right? At the New Republic School for the Gifted or whatever he was at first before he got shipped off to Uncle Luke. I think kids were like, oh, what do you name it for, Ben Quadraneros? And he's like, no, after a very powerful Jedi. And he very much dealt with that. Then I think when he started getting to the like preteen rebellious era, he owned it and like would say it to his dad and mom, but like say to like Han, like, I'm not named after, you know, no Jedi. I'm named after the best racer in the galaxy. And Han would be like, whoa. I don't know who Ben Quadraneros is, but yeah, I'm the best racer in the galaxy. And I think he used it that. And then I think by the end, he just wanted no association with Ben at all.
I like this path. I have a different but similar path that ends in the same place of anger and resentment.
Yeah,
I think I totally agree with you at the beginning. I think he's named after this great Jedi that he doesn't know, doesn't fully get the relationship, and now there's this pod racer. People are making fun of him at advanced space school. But then I think maybe, you're right that he gets a little bit of like, he figures out who the racer really is. Like, maybe he brings it up to Han. Maybe, in fact, Han's like, actually, I'm in the racing business now. That Ben Quadrinos might not look much, but he's got it where it counts. Han means it as a learning opportunity of like, hey, that Ben Quadrinos guy is actually pretty cool. And it just saddles poor Ben Solo with another legend he has to live up to. Not only does he have to be the child of Han and Leia and the nephew of Luke Skywalker and the future namesake of the continuation of Obi-Wan Kenobi, now he's got to be as good as Ben Quadrinos too. Mm.
Yeah. He rips that poster off the wall.
Would you like to see Ben Quadrinos pop up again? And if so, where and how?
Bad Batch is doing amazing things. We've been talking about the political all-stars, Chuchi and Pamela and Organa, and all those characters are kind of bringing in and bringing back. We just saw the Riot Racing episode recently with Tech. We both loved that episode. Thought it was fun. Major pod race vibes. So we're in a time period where he'd be like a retired pod race star. Maybe Riot Racing brings him in to help legitimize what they got going on. So, hey, you know, whether he races or not, or he's just like a figurehead, literally just a giant figurehead of Riot Racing, I think you could do it and you could explore it. And maybe he tries to recruit Tech into a racing team or something.
Ooh, I like this a lot. I'm going to go even farther in the future, though. I want him in The Mandalorian. I want him realized. maybe CG, maybe a fully practical outfit. I want him to be, I'm interested to see pod racing at that point, which I think the New Republic is probably getting close to banning it, right? It's kind of dirty and underground and even more dangerous and more underground than it used to be. But in my vision, Ben Quadrinos is retired. He's aged. He's a coach. He's haunted. And in the grand tradition of the Mandalorian, he needs to be at least voice acted by a fascinating, grizzled, old, out-of-left-field choice, which is why I think Ben Quadrinos should be voiced by Paul Rubens.
Yes. Yes, Pee-wee. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, please.
There we go. Two different visions of Ben Quadrinos' future. We're going a little long, so we'll wrap it up here. We always like to make it personal. How do you think it would affect your life if your body was a lot of face?
I think it might help me. This is something I run into a lot, but I ran into it the other day. I was doing a virtual audition and I was asked to smile for a picture and they said, okay, but smile. And I had to say, I am. I just have that problem. Grace will always tease me on it, rightfully so. So I think I would emote a lot easier. People would pick up on what I'm putting down with my face. If I had Ben's face, you just couldn't. It's the size of a billboard. You couldn't miss it.
I thought the same thing. I thought I would have a deep responsibility to be self-conscious about my emotions because they can be seen from much farther away. And also, I might need a longer selfie stick. If pod racing was real, which of the racers would you put money on? And would it be Ben Quadrinos?
I think knowing what happens to him, I would absolutely put money on, unless Sepulveda's in the race. But I think Atinto, Plagueis, Mahonic with his big old rump. Like I want to say rats. I think rats got done dirty. I think we should investigate what happened there because I believe in rats Tyrell. So maybe son of rats will come back.
Yeah. No, Team Toe is my favorite. I would love to say Team Toe, but I think I'd either go with Dud Bolt because Bolt is a great name. That sounds like he'd be going real fast, but then Dud, it's a mystery. He's a good middle of the road bet. But after this conversation, I'm putting all my money on Ben Quadrinos. I think he's got it.
Can't go wrong with Ben.
All right, we are going to rate the wild and weird factor of Ben Quadraneros. Our rating is based on one of the original Star Wars weirdos, and that is Lobot. So out of 10 Lobot heads, one being the least, 10 being the most, how many Lobot heads do you give Ben Quadraneros?
Look, I was going to come down to like, I don't know, 8 or so like that. But then I just was watching The Phantom Menace the other day, and I saw him in the background. And he's just the weirdest thing ever. He's just a circle with two sticks and the face and the sounds. He's just in the background, right? He's in the background in that scene when they enter in the Padres pit area. Staging area, I should say. I love him. So I'm going 10. 10 out of 10.
You know, he's got some gams. He's got some long legs. You know, I keep saying he's mostly face. And the legs are like, hey, have you seen us? We are a lot to take in as well. Shoeless in most illustrations of his full body. Yeah. So many mysteries. He's a solid 10 out of 10. I was wrong in 1999. I just reacted to the shape of the face, of the general comedy stylings. But the more time you spend with Ben's body, with Ben's life, the more beautiful and bizarre he gets. So 10 out of 10 for Ben Quadraneros.
Absolutely, indeed.
All right. Thank you all for going with us on this journey. We are always interested to hear your feelings about whatever databank dive subject we're diving into. So we would be delighted. We would be delighted to hear what you have to say about Ben Quadraneros. You can find links to all things Force Center on our Twitter at Force Center Pod. Ken, where can people find you?
Hey, you can find me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, KenNapsok.com, for shows like The Blathering, Pop Rock and Radio, Comedy Dates, and more.
And you can find me at Joseph Scrimshaw on all the social media and check out my YouTube channel by searching Joseph Scrimshaw on YouTube. But for now, we are going to jump up and down with excitement like Ben Quadraneros. That has been Databank Dive.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.